Tonight I want to talk about captivating thoughts with peace. Captivating thoughts with peace. Again, look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Heavenly Father, bless now your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would fill me, use me, minister to the hearts of our people here tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Learned a song as a kid. We used to sing it often in church. The first verse and chorus go like this. There's a peace in my heart that the world cannot give, a peace it cannot take away. Though the troubles of life may surround like a cloud, I have a peace that has come there to stay. And then the chorus said, constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers, oh so kind, I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine. These are wonderful words to a song that I have sung dozens of times. Maybe 100 times. Yet they're not always the testimony of a Christian. But really, folks, they should be. We're filled with thoughts all the time. We think. We're perplexed. We're filled with thoughts all the time. The situations of life are always complex. And it truly seems that the older one becomes, the more complex life is. To further complicate things, extenuating circumstances come into our lives physically, emotionally, spiritually, and civilly. Life was already complex with so many issues at hand before coronavirus came to town. And she has disrupted everything. Our jobs, our family lives, our churches, our finances, our health, our state, our nation, our schools, our present, and our future have become more complicated because of her. Suicides are up. Domestic violence is up. Fear is prevalent. The present is now out of order, and the future is in question. And anxiety then can become the total controlling factor behind what we do and what we say if we don't do something better than that. I need the truths tonight that we're looking at. Just like everyone else does. I have my frustrations as a patriot and as a God-fearing, God-honoring, cooperative, law-abiding citizen. I have my great concerns for health and safety and with public decisions over which I have no control. As citizens, we certainly have a right to voice our opinions, which does influence. But we cannot control everything. The same is true with all of life. We can influence, but we cannot control. What is left inside us then when we try to influence and we think about things, but we can't control? What is left inside of us can be bottled up frustrations, even anger, which can become devastating in our own lives, in our thoughts and our emotions, takes control. What we say, what we feel, what we do, and how we respond all begins in our thoughts. Everything begins in our thoughts. Casting down, the Bible says, imaginations, thoughts. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I hate to overuse the word, but think about that for a moment. Casting down imaginations or reasonings. It's amazing how many human reasonings people have and logic that contradicts God. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Everything. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Could you imagine what we would be like in our minds, the tranquility that we would experience if we could obey that 100% of the time? But we don't. We become perplexed in mind. If we don't take care of our thoughts, our spirit within will reflect the troublesome things we see and hear around us every day. We have to take care of our thoughts if we're not going to feel the unrest that comes from circumstances. So how do we cast down imaginations, reasoning? Cast them down. And how do we take everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and cast it down and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? I believe the answer is found in one of the most familiar passages to all of us. But perhaps it's, as I often say, one of the most unapplied passages at the same time. I want you to take your Bibles. You've been there before if you've come to our church. But go to Philippians chapter number 4, would you please? Casting down the imaginations and thoughts, bringing them into captivity, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Would you look there with me? I have it printed on my notes here. Philippians 4, 4. Follow along in your Bible, please. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. And that's not meaning be cautious, but full of care or anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And then in your Bible, looking at it with me, read verse 9 out loud with me. Ready? Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. This passage is the passage that I share the most when dealing with people burdened with concerns. I've preached to seniors in rest homes for years. The 4 years I was at Bible college, every Sunday afternoon, I preached in a nursing home in Joliet, Illinois. I know that I've shared this passage purposefully more than any other passage in the Bible through preaching and teaching and trying to help people. I'm not quite sure how many times I've shared the passage with individuals or our church in various ways or included it in messages, and even for my own personal thought and meditation. But I need it like you do. We all face things that we cannot control. And we need to take care, listen, of our cares. We need to take care of our cares, or they will take care of us. We often complicate our problems, especially our ability to be at peace through the problems, by things we over-concern ourselves with, things we cannot control. I call this passage God's prescription for peace. And it shows us how we can get God's peace, guard God's peace, and then gain the abiding presence of the God of peace which helps us to captivate our thoughts with peace. The thoughts we have and the thoughts we allow have so much to do with whether or not we have the abiding peace of God. Let's look first of all in this passage in Philippians at how to get God's peace. Getting God's peace. There's two basic thoughts. First, in verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. When we lose our focus of rejoicing in the Lord because of circumstances, we have no peace within. Rejoice in the Lord, what's the next word? Always. Reiterated, and again, I say, rejoice. If we lose that sense of joy in the Lord, we're going to forfeit God's peace. And then notice the second thing here. It says in verse number 4 or 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The word moderation has the idea of gentleness, calmness with others. And so the second thought is this, treat others right. When we're not careful in dealing with others, we won't have peace inside, and we're reminded the Lord's at hand. And so sometimes we forfeit peace because we know we've treated somebody unkindly. It's easy to get right with that, but we usually won't have peace if we allow that to stay there. The wonderful thing about dealing with others is that most people realize they come short too. And so when we admit our shortcomings, folks are usually quick to forgive and reconcile. Now the main principle here is in getting God's peace is actually found in verse number 6. Verse number 6 says, be careful for nothing, full of care for nothing. Don't be filled with thoughts, anxious thoughts, for anything. Why do I disobey that verse so often? Be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean be absent-minded, but don't be burdened down with care. Be careful for nothing. Instead, there's something else to do. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now in this verse, we see this. We see, and I'm going to put it simply, take your cares, make them prayers. As soon as you have a concern, something boggling your mind, make it a prayer. I really need to obey this all the time. It helped me a lot. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, your thoughts, through Christ Jesus. God's peace will keep, guard, protect your thoughts. As I said, I describe it simply in the following way. Take your cares, make them prayers, and God gives peace. If our cares remain as our abiding thoughts, since we can't control circumstances, we can't have peace. If we're burdened with care and that just occupies our mind all the time, we will not have peace. Frustration and anxiety fills us because despite all of our thoughts, we cannot control a situation. Then our emotions are in upheaval because our thoughts are in upheaval. We all will tell others about our anxieties and frustrations, but that doesn't get rid of them for us, and it only adds them perhaps to others. We muse upon our frustrations in our minds over and over, but we still feel the same inside, troubled. We have to take our cares, make them prayers, if we want God's peace. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I've mentioned so many times, but for the message sake tonight, there's two words for care there. Casting all your care, and that's the word that means anxiety. Be careful for nothing. So casting all your anxious, frustrating, worrisome thoughts upon him. For he careth, and that word is with forethought and planning, takes care of. So, for he, with forethought and planning, takes care of you. So, we take our frustrating, anxious, worrisome thoughts, and we cast them on him because he has in his mind, with forethought and planning, the means to take care of us. This is the casting down of imaginations and thoughts, casting them down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say this, apply it to yourself. I need to pray about my concerning thoughts before I speak about them, or I won't have God's peace within, and chances are I'll affect someone else's peace. My speech about my concerns before I've prayed about them may be filled with the wrong fleshly spirit we talked about Wednesday night. So take your cares, folks. Make them prayers, and God will give you his peace. Peace, the tranquility of mind and spirit when we rest in his omniscience. He knows everything. His omnipotence, he can do anything. His wisdom, he knows how to work it together for my concerns, trusting him. When we turn cares to prayers, we have the promise and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. We cannot comprehend in our finite minds with thought the peace that God gives us when we just take our cares to him and leave them there. We get God's peace. What a great exchange. God says, bring me your worries, and I'll give you my peace. What a deal. Then there's the guarding of that peace. So we get it by taking cares, concerns, worries, taking cares, make them prayers, then God gives peace. Then there's the guarding of that peace once we get it. Look at verse number 8, please, in Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, read the next four words with me. Ready? Think on these things. Think on these things. Take our thoughts, our anxious thoughts, our cares, make them prayers. God gives peace. And when he gives peace, then think on these things. Thinking on the spiritually positive things means we've disregarded the negative process first. The negative thoughts. We've cast them down. And then God's given us peace. So we need to think on these things. Focus on is the think part. Affecting our emotions by our thoughts. Think on these things. The word think means to reckon, to count, to take into account, to weigh the reasons, deliberate. And the word deals with reality. It's not imaginations. It's thinking on reality. To reckon something that is as it is. To think of reality. Think on these things. And here's the outline for these beneficial thoughts, the Lord says, to guard the peace once we have it. Think on things that are true, loving the truth, speaking the truth, things that are real, that are true. Starts with God, doesn't it? Don't focus on things you don't know to be true. Focus on things that are true. And by the way, let me interject something here that when you're going through troubles in your life, maybe someone's doing things against you, you know the truth. You guard yourself with the truth. Not only the truth of God's word, but the truth of the circumstance. Think on these things. Truth. Then whatsoever things are honest. And the word honest means is the idea of honorable or of honorable character, dealing with both persons and deeds. Think about honorable things, not dishonorable things. Boy, news media, wouldn't it be wonderful if more focus was on honorable things, if that made the news all the time? Honest. And then things that are just, righteous, or upright. Things that go along with keeping the commandments of God. We often talk about and think about the things that are disobedient to God's word, and it frustrates us. But he says, once you have my peace, then think about things that are just, things that go along with the commandments of God, things that are approved or acceptable, and then things that are pure. The idea of pure, the idea of pure from carnality, modest, chaste, immaculate, clean. Think about clean things. And then lovely, acceptable or pleasing things, things that are lovely. Think about things that are of good report. They sound well, of good words of good sentiment. And then think about things that have virtue, a virtuous course of thought, moral goodness, moral excellency. Think about those things. You know, we don't have our heads in the sand as Christians. We see what's wrong, we think about what's wrong, and we got to take those thoughts and bring them to the Lord. Lord, deal with these things. And God says, I'll give you my peace, and then I want you to think about the good things. I'll take care of the bad. And then think about things that are of praise, worthy of commendation, uplifting things. Thou hast thought evil, put thine hand upon thy mouth, but think of things instead of that are praiseworthy. It'd be amazing how much better you'd feel and how much more peace you'd retain if you decided to say the things that were commendable to someone instead of the things that were critical. Think on these things. If you want to guard the peace you have gotten from the Lord by taking cares and making them prayers, then guard them by thinking on these things, controlling your thoughts with peaceful things. Psalm 55:22 says this. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. The word cast there means to throw it. Take what you have and just throw it unto the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he'll sustain thee. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. To cast doesn't mean to do it with, as I've said before, with a rod and reel where you cast it to him and then you reel it back. That's what we do. We don't want to pick up the thoughts that were burdensome to us that we brought to the Lord in the form of prayer, request, and he gave us peace to replace it. We don't want to then pick those things back up and think about them. We should think about the right things. Actively think on these things and let the peace of God rule in your heart, as it says in Colossians. And then the last thing, we need to apply these truths. We need to apply them. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not, what? Hearers only. Look at verse 9, if you would, please. Then apply these truths. Philippians 4 and verse number 9. The Bible says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. It's interesting. He says, those things that you've both learned and what? Received. So, like right now, we're learning them, perhaps again for the 100th time. We're learning them. And when we learn them, then we have to receive them. We have to accept them as legitimate, as worthy for us to grab a hold of and utilize. Those things that you've both learned and received, you've trusted, this is what God said, it works. And then he said, you've also heard and seen in me. The Apostle Paul speaking says, look, I've taught them to you, you've received them, you've heard them from me, you've seen them in me. The Apostle Paul was one who sought the Lord's guidance in everything. I think about Moses as well, and you follow Moses through the wilderness, and every time there was a situation, almost every time, Moses first prayed. Those things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's a little word, but it's a big word. Do. Now, to experience the truth of this passage, each of us has to do it. Truth that's not lived is useless. You've heard it, you've learned it, you've accepted it, you've seen it. Now do it. We must take cares to God. I mean, you got a concern right now? Take it to God. God, this is about problem in life. I'm worried about this. Take it to the Lord. And then he'll give us peace in place of it. And then we think about right things. And we do it and keep doing it. Somebody says, well, I tried that one day. Well, how about trying it every moment of every day? I need to do that. Do it. Those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And look at the promise connected with that. And the God of what? Peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. Now, let me stop for a moment. If you're saved, the Lord is always with you. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Paul said, therefore, I can boldly say the Lord is my helper. I not fear what man can do unto me. He's always with us. But specifically here, in dealing with peace, dealing with our thoughts that are so disconcerting many times, dealing with our thoughts that perplex us and trouble us, if we'll take those thoughts, bring them to him in prayer, take our cares, make them prayers, he'll give us peace. We think about those things that lead to peace in our hearts. When we do it, then it says, extra bonus, the God of peace shall be with you. Then we get to enjoy the very presence of the God of peace and the peace of God when we do it. In the sports world, the most important thing people do is work on the fundamentals, the basics, over and over again, so they come natural. This is one of the fundamentals, dealing with our thoughts, or we'll not have victory. We'll not lead captivity captive, as we mentioned this morning, if we don't get control of our thoughts. Not try to control things with our thoughts, but get control of our thoughts, our concerns, bring them to the feet of Jesus. Let him take them. Don't hold them there, show them, and then bring them back. Dump them on him. And he says, okay, I'll give you an exchange for that, my peace. Now, you think about the things that are true, that are honest, that are just, that are lovely, good report, virtuous things, pure things, praiseworthy things. You think about these things. And when you do this, I'll be with you as the God of peace. You know, it's interesting. I listened to several people yesterday on a conference call. And several people talking with a representative mentioned how fearful they were of things. And I thought, I'm not afraid. Sure, there's troublesome things around us and confusing circumstances, but I'm not afraid. Why? I have the God of peace within my soul, walking with me, talking with me, and the things that worry me and concern me in my mind and heart, I just give them over to the Lord, knowing that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's impossible for anything to be impossible with God. And I can go on without the fear. Oh, sure, I wonder what may happen. But I know my God is in control. We can't enjoy his peaceful presence until we entrust our cares unto him and follow the directions that he gave us in this passage. Cares to prayers to gain peace. Control of thoughts to guard peace. And continued application to enjoy the presence of the God of peace. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Will we forfeit God's peace this week by our negative thoughts, things that we cannot control, our doubts, discouragements, our fears, our anxieties, our hopelessness, our defeated spirit? Or will we, like Romans 8:37 say, be more than conquerors through him that loved us? More than a conqueror, bringing our thoughts into captivity, following the prescription, letting God's peace captivate your thoughts. It's possible with God. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would take the truths of this passage and stamp them upon our hearts. Not that we would just learn them, but that we would live them and enjoy the blessings of your peace and, in fact, your person, the God of peace. Now, Heavenly Father, if there's someone under the sound of my voice that is not at peace with you through receiving Christ as their Savior, may they realize they first of all need Jesus, the Prince of Peace. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed for just 1 minute, if you're listening to me tonight and you don't know for certain that you're on your way to heaven, you can't have peace without Jesus. Won't you realize he loves you? He paid sin's debt for you. He rose to give you eternal life. He's listening for your call. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let Jesus, the Prince of Peace, come into your heart and save you, bring you at peace with God. And then, Christian, let's walk with the God of peace and captivate our thoughts with God's peace. Father, bless our folks this week. Lord, help me, help all of us to apply this wonderful truth in Scripture in our lives. Guide our country, and Lord, let our lives point others to Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining me tonight, and I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday night. Now, folks, please, don't forget Wednesday night. We have a great time, a great Bible study. Maybe you don't normally go out on Wednesday night because your work schedule, whatever. But please join us on Wednesday night. I think you'll glean some things. They'll kind of piggyback what we're talking about tonight and coincide with it there in the book of James. You come join us on Wednesday night for our Bible study. God bless you. Have a great week.